Welcome to the Hockey Writers Flames Faceoff, a weekly show with our top Calgary Flames writing crew bringing you the latest news, rumors, trades, player grades, game results, and much more. From training camp to the playoffs, from draft day to the trade deadline, our team covers everything that happens with the Flaming Seat. So get set, get focused. It's time for the Flames Faceoff. Flames Faceoff.
Hello, everybody. My name is Paul Quinney, and this is the Flames Faceoff brought to you by the Hockey Writers. Now, we're a weekly show, and to make sure you don't miss an episode, what you can do is you can like this video on YouTube. You can give us a follow on Twitter and Facebook, and a like also on YouTube and Facebook. And make sure that you follow or you share this video with your fellow Flames fans. And do check out some of the great hockey content that we have here at thehockeywriters.com. So with that, I'd like to get going and introduce the panel we have with us, as we usually do this week, Greg Chyzewski. Greg, welcome. How are things?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I've told my beer league hockey team that I'll shave my beard when I get my first goal of the season. But just a caveat to that, I only scored one goal last season. So this thing could be around for a while, just so you know, just so our viewers can mentally prepare themselves.
All right. Well, I don't know. Maybe Sorry. Your wife, if she doesn't like the beard, could pay off somebody on the team to set you up for a goal or something. But
I'll take anything I can get. Anything.
Yeah. And we have with us also Mr. Brett Krause. Brett, how are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. How are you doing today?
I have no complaints at all.
That's good.
Balmy weather out here. So let's get right down to it. I wanted to start with the Flames, the takeaways from the week. Of course, they're on a roll, 7-3-1. They extended their point streak to 10 games. But I thought before we did that, I was wondering, you know, let's take a look at the chant that was going all night in the Saddle Dome. You know, Fox, you suck. I understand the sentiment of Cowtown fans, but I'm just wondering, you know, if we could arrive at perhaps a more eloquent, perhaps a more informed argument against the young defenseman from New York. I'm not sure if that's could be an improvement project for Flames Nation this year. I don't know. Greg, your take on it. Fox, you suck.
Personally, I love it when the fans get on a player, you know, like, it doesn't take much for someone to be in the bad books in the Saddle Dome. Like, you do one thing, you hit the star player once and you get booed for 10 years. Like, there's a laundry list of players who the Flames have booed. And I think Adam Fox is a prime candidate. You know, like, he not only spurned the Flames, but he spurned Carolina. Like, he was not going to sign anywhere but the Rangers. He's a New York kid, and there's no way he's ever coming to Calgary. And Calgary Flames fans will not forget. I won't forget. I'm going to boom next time. I'm going to have the Saddle Dome too if he ever shows up. Like, I don't mind that one bit. I think that's great. When fans, this is what we miss the fans. This is what it's all about, you know? Like, and I loved his reaction after he scored his goal that was eventually taken away. He was like doing the Hulk Hogan. He was like doing this to the crowd. Like, that back and forth is great. I think, NHL needs more of that, not less of it.
Yeah. Yeah. He paid the price when that goal was called offside. So that was all over the face. Brett, I saw your tweet on it. That's why I kind of stole this idea from your tweet. I think I know where you stand, but where do you think they can mount a more erudite argument against Fox than Fox you suck?
Yeah, I think I would have liked the crowd to be a little bit more creative, because it's, you know, pretty hard to justify yelling you suck to the reigning Norris Trophy winner. No, I loved it too. I think it was great. They were just giving it to him all night. Like, you know, he touched the puck on the blue line for not even a second, and, you know, people are yelling at him. And so, no, I love that stuff. I think it's great. And like Greg said, people don't forget. And I think, you know, signing a $9.5 million a year contract for 7 years, I think he can handle, you know, 14,000-15,000 people, yeah, giving it to you for one night a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'd probably be willing to handle it for a lot less. But yeah, but it was also
seven million.
Yeah, I'll take seven. But yeah, it was also good the way to Chuck, he was really getting on him, just giving him shots here and there. Nothing major that would draw a penalty, but enough to get under his skin. But, you know, that's to Chuck. So it was good fun. Yeah. Good times had by all.
Yeah.
Last night. But I guess question for you, I'll throw out here, guys, is, you know, there's no argument. They're one of the best teams in the league right now. But can they maintain this pace? You know, they haven't lost a game in regulation. Just they dropped that first one to the Oilers, but it's been, you know, pretty good sailing since. I guess the question, and others have the same question, is, you know, Daryl Sutter hockey isn't an easy system to play for 82 straight games. You know, they try to use a high-paced, a high-energy first period to get the lead. And when that doesn't happen for them, you know, they'll resort to keeping the games tight and capitalizing on their chances on the cycle and the rush. I guess the question I have, you know, is eventually there's going to be a losing streak here for them, and how will they handle it? So Greg, what are your thoughts? Can they keep this pace up? Anything I've mentioned, would they be concerns, things they're thinking about in the coaching staff?
You know, I'm actually a bit encouraged by this past week, is because and the Flames, in their first two games of the week, when those overtime losses, they really didn't have their A game, especially in that second game of the week when they played Dallas. And they still found a way to, like, squeak out the loser point in both of those. And I think that's something that you wouldn't see in past seasons, especially, you know, and Daryl Sutter even mentioned that when he had his post-game press conference, that he actually didn't even seem all that upset. He was kind of like happy that they came back and got the point. And that's kind of encouraging, because, like, even Markstrom, who's been lights out, didn't play his best in those two games. And in that Dallas game, he laid out a real softy with 5 seconds to go in that second period. And yet the Flames still found a way. So if they can find a way to get points or stay in these games, even when they don't have their A game, I'm actually pretty encouraged by that, because they've had some really good games, and they've had some kind of so-so games, but they've still managed to pull it out. So, and I think that's an encouraging sign for this team. And I don't know if they'll, you know, go lights out all year long. There will be, you know, ebbs and flows, ups and downs. But all in all, I'm pretty encouraged by this overall team effort.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I noticed that Sutter's reaction. He didn't, as you pointed out, he didn't seem upset by those two overtime losses. And I guess, you know, losses are to be expected if you're in the coaching business. But I, you know, for Sutter, I guess it's the way you lose. And last year they lost badly. You know, they just were not winning to getting points. And probably that's the reason they didn't make the playoffs last year, was not collecting a point in those overtime games. But Brett, your take, can they keep this torrid pace up?
I mean, I don't think it'll be all season. They're on a, you know, pretty hot streak here. They're top five in the league. But I think the big thing is that if they can do this right now, it sets them up for when that inevitable losing streak comes. Because if, you know, if they, looking at the Pacific standings, like, Vegas is kind of faltering. San Jose is kind of surprised a little bit. And then, of course, Edmonton's ahead. But if they can kind of create some separation, then that gives them a cushion if, you know, things go south for a week or two and, you know, they, you know, maybe pick up a win over six games or, you know, go on a losing streak. So I think what matters right now is just playing like they are and continuing this pace so that, you know, they kind of have some room to if that does happen, then they're not too worried coming out of a losing streak or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, the question I have sometimes, you know, last night was a 6-0 shelling of New York. It's not as if, you know, goals come hard for them. You know, you can't characterize them. I guess my question is, who are these guys? I mean, are they a low scoring defensive team, or are they an offensive power? Greg, can you characterize them at this point? I guess I'm confused as to, you know, if I had to put them in a bucket, where would I put them?
Well, I think what's making it hard to categorize them is that they're kind of all things to all people, because they have this top unit that is currently playing at kind of elite level. You know, it kind of reminds me of when a few years ago when Lindholm first showed up, when it was Lindholm and Monahan and Goudreau, they were just on fire. They were like the top line in the league for the first half of the year. And this Lindholm, Goudreau, and Tkachuk line, like they're accounting for, I think you mentioned last week, like 40% of the, the points or something. Like they're very top heavy right now. And if this line keeps producing, they had 9 points last night, you know, and in this for those three guys. So if they keep producing at this pace, they're currently having no trouble getting scoring out of that top line. But if they falter, where is this team? Do they count on the defensive, you know, defensive systems to kind of get them through it, you know? So right now they're kind of a hybrid team. Now they're playing this Sutter style hockey, but that top line is really going. So it's kind of hard to peg them as one thing right now.
Yeah. Brett, your thoughts on what their true colors are, what bucket would you put them into, or can you?
Yeah, I think they're definitely right now a very good two-way team, I would put it, because they're, you know, getting goals. Their top line is clicking. You know, Mangiapane started hot. He's cooled off a bit, but just looking through their roster, I think Tyler Pitlick and Trevor Lewis are the only forwards who haven't scored for this team. So they're really getting their secondary scoring, which has been troublesome in the past, where when the top line goes quiet, there was no secondary scoring to help them out. So, and you know, you watch them play and they just, the team looks connected. They're, you know, making passes. They're on the rush. It's just tape to tape and back into the other zone is, you know, once the team gets it out of their zone. So it's right now they're just kind of doing a little bit of everything. So yeah, kind of hard to say what this team is, but they're just doing all the right things right now.
Well, I'm glad you guys have brought up the lines. And Greg, I want to start with you on this one. You wrote an article this week entitled Flames Forward Lines Could See a Major Shakeup After the Richie Injury. And I guess I wanted to ask you, you know, I want you to get into that article, but I wanted to ask you about the Coleman-Backlund Pitlick line. Do you think they'll become the same grind line that was Coleman, Yanni, Gordy, and Barkley Goodrow, you know, with Tampa? You know, are the Flames trying to recreate that one here in Calgary? You know, if they could, I think it could be important, because with Tampa, that grind line provided defense and also some secondary scoring. I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, I think you're kind of bang on. I think they're hoping that the Lightning can strike twice in a fashion, because Coleman is that player, and so is Backlund. Like, you know, like Backlund over the years has been described as one of the best two-way centers, you know, in the league. Maybe he's tapering off somewhat as he gets older, but I think that line does have a good chance of being kind of a grind line. But in my article, I wrote that I wouldn't mind seeing them put Mangiapane on that line, because Mangiapane is also like a 200 foot player. Like, he's, you know, an offensive threat, but he also plays the PK. Like, he's very defensive responsibly as well. And so I think you should tweak that grind line and put Mangiapane on it, because although he's been having good success, he's kind of been playing, you know, he's playing with a center who's not really a center, and Dylan Dubé, and he's had, you know, Milan Lucic on his line last couple of games, because that shakeup of the lines really didn't happen. They just kind of like tweaked a couple of things in that bottom six. So I would like to see Mangiapane, you know, play with Coleman and Backlund. And in the past, he had some good success playing with Backlund in a revamped 3M line last year. So I think that's my take on it. I think I like that grind line, but I do think Mangiapane should probably replace Pitlick because he's been pretty solid, but he hasn't really done anything offensively.
Yeah. Brett, your thoughts on that line? And to Greg's point, would you yank Pitlick out of there and replace him with Mangiapane?
Yeah, I think if you put Mangiapane on that line, that probably gets you closer to that Tampa Bay line, I think, because, you know, they contributed quite a bit of offense. I mean, Yanni Gord went to Seattle and he's kind of been their number one center. So that kind of tells you how good that line was. And same thing. Mangiapane is good in his own end. He's just solid in the corners and he's hard on pucks. So I think that would definitely add offense to that line. But with Pitlick on it too, like you watch them and they just suffocate their opponents. You know, they're just all over them, and they don't spend a lot of time in their own zone. You know, it kind of, the puck goes in and then they're kind of all over it and back out it goes, you know, either Backlund or Coleman are carrying it out. And so I like that line, but I think definitely Mangiapane could add, you know, some more offense to that line for sure.
Mm-hmm. So before we just close off the takeaways from the week, give me one thing, guys, that, you know, the Flames are riding high now, but you've got to look forward. You know, what aspects of their game do you worry about or, you know, think they need to improve as high as they're riding now? Greg, thought?
You know, it's funny. I wrote last week in the Flames Weekly column that I was having a bit of trouble, you know, finding things to like criticize the Flames for, because, you know, when you're on a 10 game point streak, it's kind of hard to pinpoint things. But you know, I think secondary scoring is something that you really need to get heated up, because I know that guys like Coleman have, I think, 3 goals. I think they're hoping for more out of him. You know, like, surprisingly, Milan Lucic has 4 goals, which is like the same as Johnny Gaudreau and more than half of the forwards on this team. So I think if I was to pinpoint something that they need to work on, is that first line is going like gangbusters, and you even have Monahan scoring on the power play. Like, so, but you need, you know, I think those bottom three lines to kind of start kicking in a few more goals. And it was a good sign to see Brad Richardson in the second game get a nice goal last night. Like that's what they need more of, because when that top line of Tkachuk and Gaudreau and Lindholm falter, you know, what Brett was saying before is 100% true. You really need secondary scoring. So I think that's probably would be my only real takeaway right now.
Yeah. Brett, your thoughts on that? You know, everything's Hakuna Matata, but, you know, is there something you need to work on, right?
I think really the only thing right now is kind of been their overtimes, even though they've been good enough, I think, in those games, but it's been, you know, one small error and it's costing them a point, which, you know, is, I think early on, they really need to get those overtime wins. You know, they were all over Dallas in that one game, and then Jamie Benn just walked in and fired it home. And same with Nashville, they were, you know, pretty good in the overtime, and then it was just one turnover, then they came down and scored. So I think that, and there's still some consistency issues. I think they have, you know, like a great first period and then come out kind of flat in the second, or flat in the first, but then come out good in the second and third. So, right now they're pretty small things, but, it's, like Greg said, hard to criticize this team currently, but, just some small things for sure.
Okay. So switching gears here, Jack Eichel. How lucky or unlucky, if you're in that camp, were the Flames in not acquiring Jack Eichel? You know, did Calgary dodge a bullet in missing Eichel or an opportunity? Should Flames fans be disappointed or relieved that the Flames didn't get him? Greg, I'm going to turn to you on this one. What's your take on Eichel?
You know, it's funny because I've been kind of beating the drum for years that the Flames never seem to make that big blockbuster move, and they just tinker and tinker, tinker. And I was waiting for the Flames to do something big, and this was their chance. But the fact that, you know, Eichel has this injury and this surgery that no NHLer, current NHLer, has had before, it just kind of put a cloud over everything. And it kind of really muddled my, my thoughts, because I thought I would be all in for a Jack Eichel trade, you know, to really shake things up and, you know, and put the team over the top. But the fact that it was kind of muddled by the injury and everything else, I really don't really know what to think. And the whole thing has been kind of this odd, almost controversial. There's been conspiracy theories. Like, it depends on which hockey pundit you believe. Like, there are some guys who are adamant out there who claim that Tkachuk was definitely part of a package. And then there's others who say, you know, no, it was Kevin Weeks and Kevin Adams colluded to like put it out there to kind of up the deal for Vegas. There's all kinds of scenarios. And I really don't know what to believe. Like, I don't think Tkachuk was really in the mix, but you know, only Bachelor Living knows that. And Kevin Adams, and there, even though Adams is denying it, no one really, so it's a weird situation. And I really don't know what to think. But in the end, the fact the Flames are playing so well right now, it kind of softens the blow that they didn't get another big player. So I'm going to kind of put it out there and saying, I don't know what's going on. And I can't really form an opinion. So I'm looking forward to what you guys think.
Yeah. Brett, relieved or disappointed that they didn't get him?
I think it's disappointing. I think, you know, that's especially the way that this team is playing right now. Like, adding a guy like Jack Eichel would definitely have put them in the conversation of a Stanley Cup contender. The one thing I've kind of noticed, you know, you get a lot of fans' opinions, oh, they don't need Jack Eichel, he's not worth the $10 million. But I mean, the guy only played, I think, a handful of games last season, and you know, he hasn't played this season. And I think what a lot of people have kind of forgotten is how good he actually is. You know, he's still far and above, other than Connor McDavid, ahead of the other guys in that 2015 draft in terms of points. So, and then just kind of seeing what it took for Vegas to get him, I'm kind of, it's disappointing for sure. I think the Flames could have, you know, matched that. I think the only reason Vegas got it was because they had some guys on the long-term injured reserve and the money was easier to work with. You know, there was rumors that Arizona was trying to get in there to make money work. And I would assume that the Flames would have been talking to them, but, I think this team is still missing a high impact forward to kind of, cause then you could kind of have a second line between the Backlund line and the Lindholm line, you know, that is also a scoring line. So yeah, I think it's disappointing, especially seeing, you know, what it eventually took Vegas to pry him out of Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, Brett, Greg touched on this earlier to Chuck. Was he part of the trade package or not? I guess I'm interested in to Chuck's comments after. And he said, look, I was never part of that. I don't believe I was part of that. He sounds happy about that. Does he sound like a guy who's intent on staying in Calgary? A guy that's happy here?
I think so. He's never, you know, he's never really seemed like he's kind of in a bad attitude sort of way. I mean, it was a down year last year, but it was for everybody on the team. So I think you see last night and he scores that between the legs goal. He's got a big grin on his face and all the guys are pretty fired up for him. So I think this year is going well. I think there probably was a conversation at some point that, you know, I mean, they were probably throwing back and forth, you know, trades and what do you want? What do you want? And, you know, I think it was Kelly Rudy last night who said his GM, whichever team he was with, he says, I've talked about all you guys and trading all of you guys on this team at one point or another. So
yeah,
it's not that they're actively looking to trade Tkachuk, but you gotta explore the possibilities and look at it from every angle for a player like Jack Eichel.
Yeah, Greg, I don't know. Read the tea leaves here based on Tkachuk's comments. You know, I think he sounded happy about it. Is he a happy camper? I mean, he's going to be difficult, as Tkachuk's always are, at the negotiating table. But is this a good sign for a re-signing? Because I think they've got to do it before the trade deadline. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think he wants to stay in Calgary. Like, I don't know if anybody would want to be dealt to the tire fire that has been the Buffalo Sabres in recent seasons. Like, they're just not really a desirable place to go. And, well, they're actually having a decent start this year, but they haven't been great. And it's kind of why Jack Eichel wanted out of there. I think he wanted to be away from that organization. So I think Tkachuk, you know, I had a prediction earlier, a bold prediction in one of my articles saying that he would sign a long-term deal and be named the team's next captain. And, you know, that just happened in Ottawa where the Senators named Brady Tkachuk captain of the team after signing a long-term deal. And I think Calgary is probably next in line to do exactly that. So, and I, you know, like based on, I've never got the impression that he wants out of Calgary. I think he likes his team and he seems committed to it. So, you know, I think I'm standing by my bold prediction. I think a deal will get done today. And I think he'll be announced as the Flames' next captain.
All right. Yeah. Well, related, you know, to what we're talking about with Eichel, I guess the question a lot of fans have is, what does Treliving do now? The fact that they were interested in Eichel suggests that they're in the market for a center. Thomas Hertl from San Jose, he'll be a UFA next summer. Should they pursue him? Brett, you wrote a piece, I think last week, entitled Flames Should Trade for Kratzoff If the Price is Right. Let me start with you, Brett. You know, what tweaking does Treliving do? Are those two possibilities for the Flames?
Yeah, I think, you know, I still like Kravtsov's, you know, possibility of being an NHLer. He went back to the KHL this weekend with Traktor there, and, you know, he had a beautiful overtime goal and I think 2 or 3 points in his first game back. So I think he's more than able to play in the NHL. And, you know, he's even said that he's willing to go play for a season in the AHL with another team, which, you know, kind of suggested to me that there's something going on with kind of with New York's management, that it's kind of two high profile prospects with Elias Sanderson and now Kravtsov wanting out of the organization. So I think that's a guy that could help, you know, maybe not this season, but down the road. It's just another prospect to add to the pipeline. But yeah, now that the Eichel saga is over and, you know, no more Calgary Flames rumors for now, I think I'd like to see them go for a big trade deadline acquisition. I'm not sure if I think it's going to be, depends where San Jose is, if Hurdle's available, because they've kind of gotten off to an okay start. And another one, I believe, is Philip Forsberg in Nashville is a pending free agent this year, I believe. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think for me, if they kind of continue at this pace, kind of around the Olympic break, they're, you know, top five in the league. I'd kind of like to see them go for another, you know, big name if it's out there.
Yeah. Greg, I'm going to give the final thought to you on this one. You know, what is a big acquisition in the cards? The thing I wonder about is salary cap considerations. I think a problem there is looming. Did some quick math. So if you sign Gaudreau, Chuck, and Mangiapane, those guys could cost you up to 21, 22 million, and that would leave around 10 in cap space to sign 15 other players. Do you see some big acquisitions in coming up in Treliving's to-do list?
Well, I kind of agree with Brett is that if the Flames are still flying high at the trade deadline, that's the kind of time when like teams kind of load up. If they're really going to be a contender, they're going to want to load up for the playoffs and maybe get a couple of rentals. And of course that doesn't, they would have to send money out the other way if they're going to take on a couple of big trades at the trade deadline. So I think that's the route they might go is probably load up at the trade deadline and maybe get, you know, looking at some help up the middle with some of the guys that we've been talking about, like Hurdle or whatnot. And so that's what I would think. I really don't know if there's some big deal, because you're right about, Paul, about the upcoming, you know, contract extensions that they have on the table. Like if they sign all those guys, there's not a lot of room to make some big deal and sign someone big. So I think maybe it might be trade deadline stuff that we can look forward to, if anything. if the Flames are still going strong, and if they're not, and if they fall off completely, and maybe they would do a fire sale and get rid of a bunch of contracts at the trade deadline as well, so reload for the next season. So I don't know. It's I think all depends if the Flames can continue on this pace and continue playing like they've been playing, because right now they have a goalie with four shutouts and they have a hot first line. Like they have a lot of stuff going right for them right now. And so they might not need a whole lot of tweaking come trade deadline.
Well, hey, let's start a rumor here anyway. Salary cap considerations means Monahan's getting shipped out the door. So you heard it for first.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you, gentlemen. We've run out of time, unfortunately, but as always, this has been a great discussion, a lot of fun. And thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. And we will be back next week with another episode of the Flames Face-Off. And in the meantime, make sure you don't miss an episode by subscribing to this YouTube channel, giving us a follow on Twitter and Facebook, a like on YouTube and Facebook. And be sure to share this with your fellow Calgary Flames fans. Until next week, take care. Thank you.